When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, and welcome to the Song Facts Podcast. I am your host today, Corey O'Flanagan, and thank you so much for being here. If you're listening, take a couple minutes, hit subscribe, leave us a five-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It goes a long way, and we certainly appreciate it. And as always, this podcast is proudly a part of the Pantheon Podcast Network. Today's guest is Matt Ellis from the band Villages. They have a new album called Dark Island, which comes out February 17th. And today, Matt and I talk a lot about that, some of the songs, and about how, as songwriters, they are certainly products of their environment. Listening to the album top to bottom, it is clear that these guys are pulling inspiration from everywhere, including American folk, Celtic, and obviously from their northeastern Canadian roots. Matt and the band are a tight-knit group who love and trust one another, and that definitely shows throughout this conversation. And they simply come off with pure authenticity, which I just love. So please join me in welcoming Matt Ellis and Villages. Matt Ellis, thank you so much for coming onto the Song Facts Podcast. As we were kind of talking about before I mistakenly didn't hit record, we're with Matt up in sunny Nova Scotia in February, and things are looking good, feeling good. They've got a new album, his band Villages. The album is Dark Island, and it's coming out February 17th. And the publicist was nice enough to send me this bio, which kind of gave a nice description about the band and this album and everything. And the title of this has this great little, I think, story behind it. So why don't you kind of give that to us?
Yeah, for sure. It's called Dark Island, and there's a popular, well, popular in Cape Breton anyways, slow air fiddle tune called The Dark Island. It's played at a lot of funerals, and it's just gorgeous. It's a gorgeous melody, and which makes sense. You know, oftentimes the most beautiful melodies are the soundtrack for most tragic times, and this is no exception. It's a song that we loved and we're familiar with, and then we recently found out that there was words written to it to accompany the tune in the late 60s. And this poem is—it just kind of knocked us over. It's gorgeous. You'd swear it accompanied it its whole life. It's like one of those. It's like the fiddle was speaking the words the whole time. Wow. It describes basically like when you're on your deathbed, like what of your home will you pine for? And we discovered that there was words to the poem after the fact that we recorded the record. So when going through the words of the poem, there was such a common thread with these words through every song on the record. And we just thought it was such a, you know, a coincidence too big to ignore. And even like there's a song on the record called Play the Fiddle All Night, which references the song.
Yeah.
And so we just thought it was kind of a perfect fit.
So this is the thing that really kind of got me, because I've spent a lot of time thinking about, I've make decisions in my life, big major life decisions, based on what I feel like I might be thinking about as I'm on my deathbed, based on conversations I've had with people who are right there. Most importantly, my mom, who like had a nice battle with cancer for a few years, but then as we were like seeing the end coming, I'm such a curious person. I wanted to ask those types of questions, and it so I haven't heard of somebody like bringing that into the song world. I'm sure it's out there. There's so much music out there, but you guys are the first ones that really touched on it for the album title. So I absolutely love that. And I'm endlessly fond of just thinking about those things. And maybe I put a little bit too much of emphasis on it myself for how I go through my life, but I think you got to think like that.
Yeah, we're in agreement with you 100% there for sure.
Okay. Love it. Okay. Lead single. That came out. When did that one drop? A few months ago?
That was Love Will Live On. I think it was January. January.
Yep.
Right? Yeah.
Love Will Live On or Love Will Lead On?
Live.
Love Will Live On.
I'm lying. I think it was November that we released that.
Yeah, that's kind of what I think I had in my notes too. It's been out for a little bit.
Yeah.
You and I will find a piece of land. Find peace of mind. We'll make love in the fields of heather wild and build a quiet life on an island in the Maritimes. We'll be happy when the winds blow strong and our love will live.
And so I immediately thought of another great band when I heard it, but I'm very curious if you or how you're going to react to this. But I want to, before I give you that, I just want to say, I'd like to learn a little bit more about the origins of this one, because it's kind of this just like foot stomp and good time.
Yeah. 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 The song is, there's a lot of optimism and hopefulness in the tune. And it's just kind of this, one of those things, like we spoke about just a few moments ago, about like you, decisions in your life, you know what I mean? That you need to make. Something that I'm sure a lot of us think about are just like, what if I packed up and left all the busyness of the modern age and like this life and moved to, you know, like a black house in the Highlands and just like a simple life, you know what I mean? Doesn't it seem like that's where the answer lies at times? And this song is just all about that, about actually like, you know, acting on impulse and pursuing that dream.
Okay. I really like that aspect. And I'll tell you that I put it on this morning as I was like finalizing my outline, and I looked over at my wife, who's English, and I was like, is this not kind of got an Oasis feel here at the first 10, 15 seconds at least? And she was like, absolutely. I thought it was this Oasis song I hadn't heard yet. So bravo for that.
Wow, that's a high praise.
Right? No, I absolutely loved it, and I really like that origin style. One of the things I was thinking about is you guys are up north, way the fuck up north, on the east coast of North America.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we know is that grunge music kind of stemmed from this northern part of the U.S., the Seattle, Portland, probably some Vancouver and stuff like that in there as well. And it's a lot dictated by the weather. We have these nice, beautiful, sunny skies there. I hear a lot of optimism, like you were saying before, in your guys' music, especially through this record. I'm curious if we're products of our environment. You guys have dark winters. You guys have long summers with tons of sunlight. Do you feel like the way that you guys songwrite and the sound and the vibe that you put out is influenced at all by where this is coming from?
100%. I feel, too, we have almost like there's a prolificness in our songwriting and a certain, like within certain seasons too, like you really grab inspiration from it. I think because of the weather it's such a diverse, atmosphere where we face such, what's my word here? Just such harshness at times with weather that we just appreciate the sunny days so much.
I think extremes, you know, like my thought is if you guys are in the depths of winter, like right around December 21st, and I don't think I've been as far north as you, but I have been as far north as I spent like a good winter up in northern Scotland in Inverness. And so I got a taste of these like, you know, 4-hour days of sunlight where it just feels like sunrise or sunset, just twilight, yeah. all, like for those few hours that you get. And I was wondering if you, like, if you can you write an optimistic song at that point in time?
Oh, I 100% we can, and it's I attribute all that to being from Cape Breton Island. We are a very morbid people who can see just the beauty in the darkness. We always see a light in the darkness, and I think we. That's kind of it's something that I'm thankful that we have. Like it's a real gift that we're able to do that, because you know you have to you see so much of it that you can't be in dread mode through it. You got to turn the situation on its head and appreciate that harshness.
Yeah, absolutely. Or try and find the answer at the bottom of a bottle, which it often is, and it just as often isn't.
Yeah, exactly.
The current single you touched on. Play the Fiddle All Night.
Should you find me still a Dover, string the fiddle up tight and softly, play me up, play for me the dark island till the dew lips off the clover, play the fiddle all night. Woo! And in the cold hard rain.
And I'm just, there's something about this vocal that I just am loving. And I think you guys are kind of tapping into some Celtic vibes here. I don't know exactly what it is. There's like a little quiver in the vocal. Like I'll play a bit of it so that people can hear it. It's beautiful. But there's this great lyric that just brings me to like what I think would be this like spring day in your world and where you're from. The cold, hard rain, the kind that bites you. And like that resonates with me. That hits me. I can feel that lyric. How did this song come together? You kind of touched on it with the poem, but I'm curious about like mixing that poem with the sound that you guys have and kind of where this all kind of meshing came from.
Yeah. The inspiration behind the tune is kind of there's two parts to it. There's the location. There's, I say in a moment in it, the John Neil George Road. That is a spot where my grandmother, her house to the left of her was the cemetery, and to the right of her was this John Neil George Road. And it was kind of a hub for like these paranormal sightings and like orbs in vacant houses. A lot of people, there's a set of train tracks there where people have, you know, swearing they've seen the devil there. I remember being at my grandparents' house and listening through the vents from upstairs, and my papa would have visitors over, and I remember him telling a story about them seeing a man pushing like a baby carriage on this gravel road, like just very creepy things. You might be also, I gotta interrupt here, you might be hearing a frequency. My dog is in the middle of a dream here, so I don't know if you're picking that up.
That's great. Let's you know, bring us into that dream world.
And then the other part is that in Cape Breton, it's not uncommon to hear someone say that he's biscuit, you're very distracting. It's not uncommon to hear someone say that they would like a certain song played at their funeral and they request it as they're alive. Like, we're a morbid bunch, and when you hear, it's like it could be a beautiful sunny day, you hear the song and we can't just say, what a tune, what a beautiful tune, and what a beautiful day.
Yeah.
We always have to remind ourselves that we are going to die at some point. So here's, I'd like this at my funeral. So kind of taking that a bit further and being like, what if after I pass, my ghost was seen on the John Neil George Road? And if so, play for me The Dark Island.
Wow.
And play me off to the hereafter.
I could see that. It's got this like that kind of feel to it. I don't know if you ever write a song intentionally thinking that it's going to be played at a funeral, but like... And I also think it's a nice cultural thing that you guys throw in there, that that's something that you think about more up there. I guess I haven't ever really thought about that. I'm not big on, like, I had a really small wedding. I'm not big on, like, attention. So I'm more like, let's try and, I guess I, that wouldn't, that thought hadn't questioned, but that's a really good thought process. If you're listening, take some time and think about what you'd like to have played at your funeral. I'm going to spend some time on that today.
Yeah. So that was kind of the inspiration. But then, of course, the song came together with, like, I mean, you're speaking to me here, but we are very much a band.
Yeah.
And four equal part writing, you know, with so when the idea of that was shared, it was actually, I think we're set to record, let's say, October 18th, 2021. I think this was maybe the 15th. When I was like, this is kind of down to the wire, but let's, like, here's an idea. And we you know, did it in our basement studio, just in the 25 minutes with everybody together, just wrote it. And then it made the record. So it was really exciting. That was a really exciting song to work on.
Take me into that process. Take me into, like, we have this idea. We've got this band of creatives coming up with how to, like, form this idea into song. Mm-hmm. Is it just like spitting out lines of like, oop, let's try this? Obviously everyone's feeling comfortable. There's not judgment. There's no wrong answers. It's just like, let's just keep going, throwing ideas onto the board until we get to what we want to get to.
Yeah.
Is that pretty much how it comes out? Is just like, ooh, I've got something that might work for the finishing out that verse.
Yeah. That's it. There's zero ego. We just enjoy the craft so much that, and couldn't be luckier to, like, love these guys, and let alone, like, these are the guys that that we're working with. And it's just like very lucky to be in that situation, and just respect their, like, each other's knowledge of music. Yeah. So much that like every idea, you know, is just like, it's a great idea. You know what I mean? Like we're in a great place for writing. It's just kind of like everybody's idea is as important as, you know, the others. So it's always a fun experience.
Well, and I think it sounds like you guys are putting the music and the song first rather than any individual or
always
any other aspect of, like, personal,
yeah,
anything like that. It's like, no, let's just, our job here is to put out the best music and songs possible.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Stay tuned for more Song Facts Podcast right after this.
Hello, Pantheon Podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has three pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house, and my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have, but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out, because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with two devices at once, new quick charge function, three customizable sound styles, plus awareness mode, available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
And kind of leaning on that a little bit, the band, throughout the songs that I've listened to on this album and a little bit from the past, a lot of your lyrical content creates images of nature for the listener, like the one that I touched on earlier regarding the cold and hard rain. What do you think attributes to that? And do you think it's intentional or more so from the subconscious?
Great question. I think probably subconsciously, because it's in our blood. Being from Cape Breton Island, we're surrounded by beauty.
Yeah.
It's a gorgeous place. And you can't not reference it and write about it. And I often look for a lot of symbolism in nature.
Yeah.
It's a huge part of the lyrics for sure. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's kind of interesting to pull that kind of stuff from the subconscious. Like we were talking about before, you're a product of your environment. And if your environment is that striking, I mean, I'm from northern Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. It is striking in ways, but not endlessly, like with these vibrant seashores with huge rocky pillars and all that kind of stuff. Like it's, you know, it's like farmland and forest and stuff like that. And it has its moments, but it's not just like this, oh, I want to go there to see this type of place, where I think people would come to where you're from in order to be like, this is what I want to see. Like, I want to go up to this rugged part of the world. And it's kind of your way of just your subconscious just expressing that to people who might never get a chance to go there. And I always kind of like that aspect of like how it connects to your audience and whoever's going to listen to it. And you just kind of give them a little taste of where you're from without even really thinking about it.
Yeah. It's very natural. It's very authentic. Yeah.
This is kind of an interesting one, jumping off of your music. And I'm curious, this might let us into like what kind of stuff you're listening to get influenced and all that kind of stuff and inspired. What's a song by another artist that you spent the most time deconstructing to figure out how they did it or what it meant? Like kind of this kind of questions that I'm asking.
Mm-hmm. So there's this band called Planxty. And there's this particular song called Thousands Are Sailing.
You brave Irish heroes, wherever you be, I pray stand a moment and listen to me. Your sons and fair daughters are now going away. And thousands are sailing.
It's from a record called Words and Music.
Okay.
It's, of course, beautiful, beautiful lyrics. But the part that I still have not cracked is the time signatures.
Oh, wow.
Always fascinated with the time signatures. I've listened to that song so much, and I'm just like, what are they in? What? And how come I love it? And how come it's like, it's so like, audibly, I get it. But if you sit down and try to like dissect it and be like, what is it? I don't know what
is it. Is it changing time signatures throughout? Or is it just like, do you think it's consistently in one that you just can't touch on? Or is there one?
Well, I know that like the vocalist and bouzouki player, Andy Irvine, he's a phenom. So like there's nothing simple in his repertoire at all. So it's like something is constantly moving and I can't figure out the timing of that movement. It's like he's singing in a time that doesn't seem like it's changing, but you just have to hear it.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm crazy, but it's...
No, you're not. There's another band that I was introduced to, you know, probably 20 years ago. That's kind of a progressive jazz band called The Bad Plus.
Okay.
If you haven't listened to them, hop on Spotify, whatever you want to do, and check them out. Very much in the same realm of what is going on. It's constantly changing. It's just a three piece, but man, are they a power trio. And they are just pumping out stuff that you're listening to, you're enjoying it. And then you're just like, at the same time, you're like, what is going on? And I love that. I love being challenged like that.
Yep.
So what's the song on this new album that has kind of grown on you throughout the recording process that maybe you were kind of meh about before, but now you're like, ooh, I like that.
I think one that comes to mind is Rocks in the Field.
Cheeks on the gunwale and if I fell, I never did mind. It's something to be finally free for when we're not on the sea. We're just rocks in the field. By goal and cut, I can finally shed facade so well.
It's the closing song.
Okay.
When we had originally demoed it. It was kind of like Waterboys, Waterboys shanty shuffly vibe. It was, and since then, like the version we recorded is, it's less than that, and it like it's. I don't mean it's a lesser song than that than it was. I mean it's less, maybe less of a like a foot stomping, up tempo song.
Yeah,
it took me a while to fully understand it, and now it's a song that I adore. But that's something that I, when we talked about like ego and, you know, squashing that, there's a Bowie line where he was like, always like, if you're in your comfort zone, you're not doing anything that's like really, you know, unique or riveting. So I've always taken that to heart, and back to the trusting these guys when it's like, maybe we could do it this way. I don't think for any length of time, argue or fight it. It's just like, I trust you guys 100%. And lo and behold, 3 weeks after it's recorded and let's do it, they were right.
I really like that. I mean, that kind of, I interview a lot of people in bands, and I think that's an recurring theme that comes up, is this trust. But like, you guys seem to just have this safety that you kind of keep touching on, that I think it's, to be able to do that, you're going to be able to get your best workout, because when you can leave the ego at the door and just do it for the right reasons, that's going to produce some really high quality stuff. And I think just from like someone who's a listener and a fan, it's appreciated just to know that, because I think the headlines that bands makes are a lot of times negative. You don't really get this aspect of like, everyone was in the studio vibing, all these songs came together really nicely, and we're so proud of what we've produced here. The stuff that comes out of like a recording session is like, you know, Graham Nash and David Crosby, rest his soul, were just at each other's throats and he couldn't put the crack pipe down. And like, that's the kind of stuff that hits the headlines. But I really like having this, like this trust and admiration for each other. That's a very positive thing that you guys have going.
It's great.
Absolutely. All right. One more question. We're with Matt Ellis of Villages. New album's called Dark Island, and it's coming out February 17th. Be sure to check it out. I'm curious how working with the producer Joshua Van Tassel influenced the album's sound.
Oh, well, he's like a, you know, just a soundscapist. That was a big reason we wanted to work with him, because it's like he's composed like great jazz records, and it's just like he creates this sonic world. We wanted just to sound otherworldly. We wanted to be like, because we find Cape Breton is otherworldly, and we wanted to be like, to match that sonically. Mm-hmm. And he was able to do it, and then some. Again, trust, full trust in him pushing us sonically. And a great approach that he took in was a live off the floor recording, and with minimal takes, just to be like, you know, the tune, like, you know, it's like every tune is like three takes, you know what I mean? And just like, that's the song. He was very into what he would consistently say is like, I'm into capturing moments.
Oh, I like that. So most of this album was recorded just live, and then like obviously some overdubs and stuff like that from there, but the core bits of song were just you guys in the studio playing it like you were playing it at a gig?
Yep, that's it.
Oh, that's amazing.
It really was. I can't see us going back to, you know what I mean, to like making bed tracks and, you know, just track by track recording. This was just, we all have a unique chemistry with one another, and I think it, and Josh saw that and said like, let's capture that.
Yeah, that's so amazing.
Yeah, like even like you can really overkill a tune with perfectionism sometimes. If you're like, on an individual level anyways, I'm speaking, say like vocally, I could be like, I could, you know, just cut a lot of things and be like, let's get the best vocal of this, of these, well, you know, let's record it 10 times and get the best phrase there.
Yeah.
But that's not the moment. And it took me this particular record to see that and let that go and be like, with that, this was us playing the tune together. And this is what we sound like.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that gives like, you know, if you get overproduced in a studio, how do you go out on tour and do that kind of thing and give it back to the fans where they have this expectation of what it's going to sound like? You either got to like double the size of your band and bring in like a brass section and an amazing person who's sitting there with like four different styles of keyboards to get the sounds that you want. And I think that doesn't, the bit of you that I've learned about just through this conversation and the listening that I've done, that just doesn't seem to be who you guys are. You want to be authentically you, and what we produce here is what we want you to hear when you hear us live. And I think that's really appreciated, because it's really easy to get bogged down in overproduction these days because we have so many tools, pro tools, if you will.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Yeah. I agree. Where do you
go? Matt, thank you so much, man. The album is Dark Island. Check it out. These guys are awesome. Are we going to be able to see you? You guys going to tour a little bit behind this? What's going on there?
Yeah, we have a Canadian tour happening in March.
Nice.
Yeah.
And East Coast to West Coast?
East Coast to where we go as far as Ontario.
Okay.
All the Maritimes.
Well, I'm going to, there'll be in the show notes here, there's going to be a link to the website so you guys can check out the tour. Matt, really appreciate it. Much success. And next time the new album comes out, come back on. Let's talk about those songs because I'm loving it.
Hey man, pleasure was mine. Thank you.
Thank you so much to Matt for coming on to the show. Been thinking a little bit about that song that I might want to have played at my funeral. Tough to say because I think it would change, but right now I'm going to go ahead and say Helplessly Hoping by Crosby, Stills, and Nash. As always, for the stories behind the song, go to songfacts.com. Have yourself a great day.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.